No matter how well our parents protect us while we're growing up, sooner or later we face challenges and difficulties in our relationships, our work, and our other activities. Each time we face one of these external challenges, we have the choice of either responding positively and constructively or of letting it overwhelm us. If we choose deliberately to respond in a positive and constructive way, to keep our minds calm and cool and deal effectively with the inevitable problem, we learn and grow and become stronger. Our self-confidence goes up. Our belief in our ability to achieve our goals increases. Our self-esteem rises. We form a better self-image and we become more self-assured and optimistic. Every large company goes through the same cycle of challenge and response. If a small company is capable of rising to the inevitable setbacks and reversals it experiences, it continues to grow and triggers even greater responses. Peter Drucker once said that a company stays in business as long as it continues to make enough money to pay for its mistakes. One business consultant estimated that every 3 months a small business has a crisis that, if not responded to properly, can lead to the collapse of the enterprise. You and I are similar to small businesses in many respects. Fortunately, an inability to respond will not lead to something as final as a business collapse, but if for any reason we don't get on top of the challenges, but rather let them get on top of us, our self-esteem and self-confidence will go down, and our ability to deal with subsequent difficulties will diminish dramatically. As I've mentioned before, almost everything that happens to you is determined by your response to life. In your responses are contained everything you have learned and everything that you have become. Thomas Huxley said, "Experience is not what happens to a man, it is what a man does with what happens to him." Your life and everything about you is demonstrated in the way you react. It's not in what happens to you. This is why the Stanford study was quite clear when it stated that the proven ability to function in a crisis is the absolute prerequisite for promotion to a senior position. In a way, what we're really talking about here is character. One of the aims of your life should be to develop your character, to become a better and finer and stronger human being. But the development of character, although essential to your long-term happiness and well-being, is not as easy as it seems at first. You probably make every effort to organize your life in such a way that you minimize or remove the unexpected and usually unpleasant surprises that may occur. You use your intelligence, your education, and your experience to arrange your life and affairs so that you avoid adversity wherever and whenever possible. You probably plan and prepare exhaustively in advance to assure that things go smoothly both at home and at work. You are especially careful with your health and with the well-being of members of your family. Almost everyone does this, except for those who are thoughtless and irresponsible. Yet in spite of making every effort to avoid adversity, you experience adversity nonetheless. Adversity comes to you unbidden. You tend to be blindsided with adversity, and it befalls you in spite of your very best efforts to the contrary. But yet, in the absence of adversity, you cannot go and develop your character. You cannot become a better person. You cannot develop resilience, perseverance, and resoluteness of character. You cannot develop into the kind of person who enjoys high levels of self-confidence and a feeling that you can meet and master whatever you're faced with. You cannot grow stronger without adversity, which you consciously and deliberately avoid. You cannot develop the character which is the mark of the mature person. Caught in this conundrum, you have only one choice. You can choose in advance to be equal to the occasion. Ann Landers summed it up beautifully in these words. She said, "If I were asked to give what I consider the single most useful bit of advice for all humanity, it would be this. Expect trouble as an inevitable part of life, and when it comes, hold your head high, look it squarely in the eye, and say, 'I will be bigger than you. You cannot defeat me.'" Frederick Robertson said, "It is not the situation that makes the man, but the man who makes the situation. It is not what happens to you, but how you respond to what happens to you that determines your whole life. In his whole question of responses is contained all the elements of human greatness or depravity. Great men and women are simply those who have responded well when the chips were down, and the rest is history. Dr. Abraham Zelsnick of Harvard is one of the few people who has ever done extensive research into the subject of disappointment. What he found in studying the way that different people respond to disappointment was that you could largely tell how high and how far a person was going to go in life by simply analyzing how they reacted when they faced frustration and setbacks in reaching their goals. Dr. Zelsnick found that the great majority of people do not prepare mentally for the inevitable disappointments that come in life, and when they arrive, they tend to be taken off guard and emotionally overwhelmed. They generalize the disappointments and allow themselves to feel that because they have not succeeded, they are not really very good at what they do. They tend to see these disappointments as being indicative of their inabilities and lack of competence. They become easily disappointed in themselves, and they lose the courage and confidence that they need to press forward. Often, they become depressed, and in the majority of cases, they gradually give up. They stop setting goals and working on themselves and become more concerned about security and potential loss than about taking chances and potential gain. The winners in his study responded to disappointment very differently. First, they mentally prepared for a disappointment in advance so that when it arrived, they had already given some thought to how they would react and to the possible courses of action open to them. They looked upon a particular setback as very specific and not being indicative of a general lack of ability or of a character flaw. More than anything else, these superior men and women had developed a series of mental tools that they used almost automatically whenever things went wrong for them. Napoleon Bonaparte is considered by historians to have been perhaps the most brilliant battlefield general in human history. In a military career spanning 25 years and involving hundreds of battles, large and small, he lost only three. Napoleon was famous for having taken the time to think through every possibility of the upcoming battle with no illusions and with an attitude that dealt with the worst possibilities and reverses that could occur. When the battle was underway and confusion reigned everywhere, a steady stream of messengers and officers would come to him with news, requesting instructions on what to do next. His responses were always clear, concise, and immediate. No matter what happened, he had an order and an answer at the tip of his tongue. And the reason for this, and what helped to make him the master of all of Europe, was because he had thought everything through in advance.